Praise God. It's another good morning God has given us to listen to His word. I trust that you are well and that the Lord is keeping and watching over your life. We carry on with our study of Colossians chapter 4, and hopefully today, by the grace of God, we shall be able to conclude the chapter. You know, the book of Colossians has been a letter that Paul has been writing to the church in Colossae, and this is a church that he did not plant himself. This is a church that was established by Epaphras. He's the one who taught them about Christ. And Epaphras was, you know, a beloved minister to the church in Colossae, who also was with Paul. And Epaphras was one that he also calls my fellow prisoner. He's one that he sends to Philippi, he sends to Colossae, he sends to Crete, you know, even to meet up with Titus. So Epaphras was a faithful believer. And since the church in Colossae was one where there were also some of these Judaistic teachers, there were synagogues there. Remember, the Jews had been scattered everywhere, and everywhere they had synagogues where they would still teach the law. But then the challenge in Colossae was the challenge of where there are all these false religions. There are people who are arguing that Christ was not superior. Christ was equal to angels, that, you know, angels are authoritative and all that. And so it was necessary that Paul addresses the various conflicts that were there in the faith in Colossae. Of course, we've said the issue of the creation. So he has to establish the supremacy of Christ. That means he's the creator. By him, all things are made. In him, all things consist. Then he also addresses another issue of tradition. You know, there are those who wanted the law, and there are those who are, you know, going into extremes, trying to tell them about Sabbaths, about keeping new moons, observing festivals. And he tells them all these legal requirements, such as ordinances that you want to follow at. All these were established by the cross. They were completed by the cross, and Jesus is the fulfillment, and you are complete in him. Then, of course, there are those who are bringing in philosophy. They will try to, you know, to philosophize, to think, to bring in their human wisdom. And he tells them Christ is the wisdom of God, that it is not, let no one deceive you by vain philosophy, because all these are philosophies, and then they're trying to attempt to get you on the wrong side, and before you know it, you are lost. Then also Paul addresses the aspects of, you know, those that are interested in, you know, in that aspect of using, you know, denying themselves to the extent that it's do not taste, do not eat, you know, that false humility and false religion. There are people who will just focus so much on self-denial, self-aggrandization, where they ensure that there is nothing that they don't want to have any enjoyment over anything. But you see, the challenge with that is that it has a false form of, you know, of religion, but it has no power to overcome the flesh. And Paul was very keen to ensure that they understand that, you see, one, Christ is everything. They are complete in Christ. Christ is superior, you know, and they should grow in their knowledge and understanding of God. If they grow in their knowledge, understanding of God, Christ will dwell in their hearts by faith. Then they can live the Christian life. Then they can set their minds on things above. They can put to death their members which are on the earth. And by they can grow in maturity. And you see, as he was concluding in chapter 4, he tells them that, now I want to tell you, continue earnestly in prayer, you know, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God will open a door of utterance, a door for the word, that is the divine expression, a door for logos, that they may be able to speak the mystery of Christ, of which he says he is also in chains. Remember, Paul in this time, he is in Rome. He's under house arrest, but he has used that opportunity to preach to the entire palace guard that everyone has known that his chains are for the sake of the gospel. He has had a harvest even among the Romans. But then now he keeps encouraging them that they need to walk in wisdom. They need to redeem the time. You know, there are those people who are outside. Let your words always be with grace. You know, have grace in your words. Let God give you the ability to minister grace to people, to season your word with salt. That means that you can make it sweet. You can bring them to the point of understanding, and such that you are also able to answer everyone. You know, there are people who are coming with questions, but they won't be won over because you won the argument. No, they will be won over by love. They will be won over by wisdom. They will be won over by encountering compassion. So there is a compassion that comes that enables one to win souls, and this is very necessary. So now, as he concludes from verse 7, he starts to send his greetings, and the first person that he sends his greetings is Tychicus. He says, Tychicus, a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, whom will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will make known to you all things which are happening here. Now you can think about it that, you know, Tychicus were one of the original companions, and this is mentioned in the book of Acts, where it says Tychicus and Trophimus from Asia. This is one of the companions of Paul, who is actually mentioned as he is one who he has been sending to various places. And that's why the Bible calls him a beloved brother. And Paul refers to him a beloved brother and faithful minister and a fellow servant of the Lord. And he says, I will send him to you and he will tell you all news about me. Because you see, Colossae, the church in Colossae, had not yet met Paul. They heard about him, they received him through the letters, and they heard of him through Epaphras, but you see, he wants them to have an even deeper understanding of him. And so he says, let me send you my son. Me, I'm in prison, yes. Let me send you one who has walked with me, Tychicus, and he will show you about the things that, everything that you've heard of me. You see, as leaders, there's always the challenge that, have we mentored people? Are there people that we are working with that carry the same spirit that we have, that you know you can send, and you know that they will not disappoint? You know that they will minister in the same capacity, in the same grace that you have. Now, these are the kind of people that Paul had. And, you know, of course, he is in prison, and that is the reality. There is a point where you might not be able, you might be constrained by one or two things, but you see, true leadership is when we are able to mentor others. And I pray that God will give us the capacity and the ability and the grace to also have people that are ready to be mentored. People that are saying, Lord, I want to learn, and thank you for giving me this person, and this person can mold me. But you see, discipline and discipleship takes a willingness of the disciple to submit to the leadership of the discipler. It's very hard to raise someone that is not ready to submit. It's very hard to, you know, to build someone that is not ready and willing to bring themselves to the place of hearing, to bring themselves to the place where they can hear, where they can understand from God. And you see, but they that submit themselves, they that are faithful to instruction, then God can use that channel to build them. Now, Tychicus is one example. Think about it, Onesimus. Onesimus is actually one who was a runaway slave. And he is one that, you know, that he, Paul, and actually his name means profitable, you know. And he was, what you will say, he was a slave, a Christian slave of Philemon that had run away. And when Paul met him when he was in prison, I'm thinking he's someone who had run away, entered into trouble, then went into prison together with Paul. But then he became a convert of Paul while in prison. So he is free. And so Onesimus is sent by Paul also to Colossae alongside Tychicus, so that he can also go and be with them. And you can see that he is also, the Bible says, a faithful beloved, brother who is one of you. So Onesimus is from Colossae, and if you read the book of Philemon, you will understand that Onesimus was a slave of Philemon, and so the letter of Philemon is written to Philemon so that he can accept Onesimus. He can accept him back as a slave, and the Bible says that, verse 9, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. Now, verse 10 says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. Now think of this. Paul is speaking about Aristarchus. It says Aristarchus is my fellow prisoner. That means Paul was in prison with others, and he says he is my fellow prisoner. But also think of Mark. And who is this Mark? This is John Mark. This is the cousin of Peter. And remember when Paul and Silas had taken John Mark along them, and then there was this great conflict, and Silas decided that he needs John Mark, but then Paul says that John Mark had abandoned them, so he's not interested in taking him, so he leaves him away. But you see later on he says, send for me John Mark, because he's useful to me in the ministry. And you can see even here, while he is in prison, he is now with him in the prison, and he says he's the cousin of Barnabas, of whom you received instructions about. So Barnabas wanted to take him along, but Paul and Barnabas have to disagree, and Paul takes Silas and Barnabas takes John Mark, and they go ahead and carry on with the ministry. But you see, he sent later on for Mark, and he says if he comes to him, welcome him. So Paul in this time, he's already old enough, he's already understood there's a way to deal with people. There's a point where people may disappoint you, but you also need to forgive them. And Paul has forgiven John Mark and is able to welcome him back as one of his companions. Remember, he said he's helpful to me in the ministry, and you can see how he is helpful to him. Verse 11 says, and Jesus, who is called Justice, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. So he says he has Jesus. And you know, Jesus actually in Greek is Jesus, in Hebrew is Joshua. So it was a common name, but that's why they used to refer to either Jesus of Nazareth or Jesus the Christ, so that you can know who Jesus is. But he says Jesus, who is called Justice, says these are my only fellow workers in the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. That means he means that they are Jews. And he says they are Jews, but they are in the kingdom of God who have proved to be a comfort to Paul. Now look at another verse 12, Epaphras. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you. And remember, Epaphras is the one who raised the Colossian church. So he says, who is one of you, a bond servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and for those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Think of this man Epaphras. We don't hear much about him, but there's something that the scripture says, that he is always laboring in prayers for you. He's a born servant of Christ. And you can see, you know, on earth you might not be known by men, but in heaven you are known. And Paul says that, I know of Epaphras. Yes, he raised you, but there's something about him. He is always laboring fervently in prayers for you, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. As believers, God can give you burden for souls. God can give you burden for cities. God can give you burden for churches. And if you are passionate in it, if you are fervent, if you continue in it, then the impact that people see in their lives is what later on they will wonder, but where did this come? It is because someone labored for them. Someone labored. You know, children, when your parents pray for you, you are the product of their prayers. Many people at times wonder, why does God bless them? There's someone that labored for them. Epaphras was one of them. One among them, their leader, their former person who preached to them the Christ, who labor in Christ for them. As believers, can we labor for our brothers and sisters? Can we labor for the churches? Can we labor for the nation? Can we plead the mercies of God that God shall intervene, that God shall fight, that God shall bring them to the truth, that they shall come to the knowledge of the truth? And that's why he says, I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you. His passion was that they come to know God, that they may be stand perfect. And indeed, yes, you can stand perfect. You can stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And he says he's not only praying for those in Colossae, he's also praying for those in Laodicea. Remember, Colossae and Laodicea are close to one another, and also those in Hierapolis. Verse 14 says, look, the beloved physician and Demas greets you. Now, it's interesting for you to understand, Luke was the author of the book of Luke and also the author of the book of Acts. He was a close companion of Paul, and that is why there are so many details of Acts from Luke, who is the writer of the book of Acts, because he was with them. And there are various times where he says, we sailed, we began, we started the journey, we faced this. That means he was there alongside with him. And who was he? He was a doctor. He was not only a medical doctor, but also a missionary evangelist alongside with Paul. That means he was able to use not only his skills, but also the call of God on his life. So it is very necessary for each and every one of us to know that God will use the professions that we have. There is no waste in the kingdom of God. There is nothing that God wastes in the kingdom of God. Everything that he has given you, he will enable you to use it. And if you're patient, if you're consistent, if you're faithful, then you shall encounter the blessings of God. You shall encounter the will of God in your life. And also, this other man is mentioned, Demas. He says, Demas greets you. But you sadly, Demas is spoken of in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. It says that, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed with Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Demas was with Paul at this time when he's writing the letter, but unfortunately, because he loved the world, he forsook Paul. And which is sad, which is a sad thing, that not everyone that starts well ends well. And we must understand that men will leave us. There are times that people will leave us, not because we've done anything wrong, but because at times there are inner conflicts among themselves that will move them to other places. It is necessary, it is important that we do not develop bitterness against those who leave us, but release them, pray for them, but also expect that not everyone that we build will stay with us. Verse 15 says, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church that is in his house. So, remember, the Laodicea and Colossae are near each other. It says it's actually a few miles. And then also Hierapolis was about 5 miles north of Laodicea. And he now tells them that also, and Nymphas. So there's also another person who's mentioned, and the church that is in his house. In the early days, churches were in houses. That was a strategy. They met in houses. They didn't have buildings, but it was the foundation that made the difference. That you can see that a family forms a foundation for altars. It forms a foundation by which people can pray together, by which people can be established in the faith, and family forms a first primary ground, training ground, by which in faith we can grow in the things of God, and we can be established, and we can know who God is. I pray that God will give us more insight into this, and even as we continue to be established, we can look back at the book of Colossians, we can see how he has addressed the family, has also called for relationships, we can look at all the challenges that were addressed in Colossae, and we can grow, but most importantly, to know who Christ is. And this is one of the greatest revelations that Paul also releases to the church. I pray that this has been a blessing to you, that indeed God continues to keep and watch over your life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory. We thank you for your word that has come forth in power, in understanding, that you've given us clarity of thought, clarity of speech, a door of utterance, that indeed even for everyone that continues to listen, that you empower them, O God. You give them understanding. You give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that let them walk in truth, let them walk in grace, let them be guided, let them be strengthened, let them be established, let them hear your voice, let them know who you are, because you are God and there is no one else like you, God. We honor you, we trust in you, and we depend upon you. May you be with us in each and everything that we do. May your name be exalted and be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom. Have a blessed, blessed day ahead.